Ball Spark.
You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
And good Wednesday morning, Western Oklahoma. It is The Skinny on Sports on 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, KADS, the sports animal. Jared Atha in studio. Skinny on the road. He is on the way to cover the Elk City Elkette softball team as they are in the regional tournament at Cushing, Oklahoma. And I believe they have the very first game today at high noon. They moved everything up a day to avoid some weather, possible weather. So hopefully by the end of the day, we'll know the Elk City Elkette's fate. And hopefully it's a good fate as they're fighting to get into the state tournament. So we'll catch up with Aaron on that one coming up a little bit. Last night, and I'm not trying to jump on Aaron's toes because we got him on the line, but last night, it's hard to avoid this one. Elk City Elks, they might be the hottest team in Class 4A baseball right now. They got a big win on the road versus Tuttle, that's just I was blown away by that, Aaron, as he's on the road, so hopefully we don't lose him. Hopefully we got good connection, but I think we got to start there, Aaron. The Big Elks are, again, I think the hottest team in Class 4A.
Yeah, you never know exactly. In a midweek game, I don't even know if Tuttle's played by district yet, so you never really know how that went as far as pitching staff and that kind of thing. Obviously, the Elks are coming off the by district win on Monday, throwing cash the first game, Cooper Church the second game. Matt Bales, I think, started last night. He went 5 2/3, gave up 5 runs and hits in a 6-5 win, but then Hopper came in and shut the door. 6-5 win for the Elks. It's one of those games, if you're going to play it, obviously you'd rather win it than lose it. I'm just not 100% sure what it, if it means anything moving forward. But, you know, if you look ahead, and obviously that would be a game that would be in a state tournament situation if the Elks were to face Tuttle again, it can't help but give you confidence knowing that you were able to beat that team. And then you flash back to the I-40 Classic, you see the score, and it was 10-2. But if you watch that game, you know, Elk City had every chance to win that game with the bases loaded, nobody out, down a run in the bottom of the sixth, can't scratch anything across, and then Tuttle goes crazy with like 8 runs in the seventh. So, yeah, I mean, obviously a positive thing anytime you beat a team that, you know, what, probably 1 or 2, there's not really rankings in 4A baseball, but they've been at the top of the heap all year long. So very, very positive for the Elks as they look ahead next week to the regional tournament.
I know what you're saying. The question is, it's a non-district game, doesn't mean really anything because for Elk City's case, by districts that have already been played, and don't know if Tuttle's played theirs yet. So it kind of begs the question, you know, who pitched who batted who, you know, what kind of lineup was put out there. But you ask a coach that, they're going to tell you, we're there to win. You know, it's not about the name on the back of the jersey, it's about the name on the front. And anytime you can beat that Tuttle name, that, like you said, has to give the guys a big boost going forward into the regional next week.
Yeah, and I texted Jay last night after it was over, and he said it was as good as they played all year long. So you like to see that on the Elk City side of things. It's the best time of the year to be playing your best baseball, and it sure looks like the Elks a rounding ride in form with, you know, we'll see what happens next week in the regional tournament. But, you know, hosting that thing, you know, this is a team that has been in the regional tournament over the last few years, so it's not like they're going to step into an arena that they're not used to. The only difference is they're going to be in the home dugout, which I think that's invaluable for these guys next week as they try to scratch into the state tournament for the first time since 2004.
Yeah, it's going to be huge, and for all the reasons you said. And then, you know, I don't know, you studied it more than I have. If the Big Elks are able to get the regional championship and get into state, where would that put them in seeding-wise in the state tournament? Could it be possible to see Tuttle again? And hopefully it is on a Saturday in the state tournament, and that'd be very intriguing a third time around to see those guys again.
Yeah, I meant to look at that, but it was technically trying to find a roster and whatnot. in for the softball. It seems like I remember that that could probably be a semifinal game, if I remember right, because that's the kind of the bracket is set. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It shows you, you know, who plays by district depending on the district standings. Then it shows you who will be in the regional. Then it goes to the state tournament. I think I was looking at the manual on the OSSA's webpage the other day to figure out kind of who would be in everybody's regional if by district seeding held, you know, for next week. And it seems like it might have even taken it a step ahead where, okay, if you win, you know, regional four, then you would be in this part of the bracket and so on and so forth. I may be kind of misremembering that, but it seemed like in that manual it might have showed that, but something we could sure look up and find for sure if we know that'll be the case. Or, like you're thinking, more of it goes back to being seeded once you see who's in the tournament.
Well, the Big Elks are in great shape. A very, very impressive win last night, 22-8 overall on the year. And now they can focus straight on, you know, I'm not sure. You would know, Aaron, if they have any more games between now and regional. I mean, it feels like it's an incredibly long layover. We're 8 days away from that first pitch. So you'd almost want to see him play something else. But in other words, you'd want to see him, you know, rest and focus and get some practice in the batting barn, et cetera. So very anxious for next week and to see what that matchup looks like. And like you said yesterday, I think the big name that could be coming to town is Bing, followed by, what did you say, Locust Grove? And
yeah, I think it was Bing, Lone Grove,
excuse me.
And Mount St. Mary's, if the higher-seeded team in by district
right.
wins.
And anytime Bing is playing baseball, that gets your attention.
Yeah, obviously Coach Streeter's been back down there for a couple of years. You know, familiar to all the people here. He was the coach of Elk City there for a time back in the early 2000s. So, you know, everyone knows that, you know, that's the team that's going to play the right way. Coaches them up really, really well. He's been one of the better coaches around Oklahoma High School baseball for quite some time now. And you're right. That's one of those teams that you see year in, year out. It's, quite frankly, it's what the Elks were from, say, 92 through 2005 or 6. And that's what J-Mac's trying to build back. You know, not even necessarily a team that's going to be in the regional every year, a team that's challenging in the state tournament. I was actually kind of shocked yesterday looking back through the history of baseball. Elk City went to the state tournament in a 10-year span there from 94 to 2004 five different times. Haven't been since. And quite frankly, in that time, probably was, I know it was a little bit disappointed at times because they only won one game in 5 years with teams that were loaded and really kind of state title teams. Just didn't work out. So that's where J-Mac's looking to get it to. And quite frankly, there's loaded classes in baseball coming, you know, all the way in down clear to the, you know, fourth and fifth grade level. When you see the success that those guys are having in the summertime,
yeah.
You know, the guys that are freshmen now were okay kids, state champions, the guys that were in seventh and eighth grade did it as well. You know, last summer's team that Jason Curry's on, that those kids are fourth, fifth, sixth graders, depending on exactly kind of how they are in school. They played for the state championship, so there's a lot to be excited about for Big Elk baseball, not only this year, but then also moving forward for a bunch of years coming. And that's just, it's a good sign with the health of youth baseball in and around Elk City. And so far, the Big Elk baseball program has really been a beneficiary of that.
Well, I hate to sound, you know, so cliche, but we got to credit the city, the boosters, the school, putting the funds into the program up and down from like you mentioned, the kids all the way up. Just go out and look at the facilities at Ackley Park, look at the batting barn and locker room facilities. It's something that could easily, that venue could easily have just decayed, for lack of a better term, but it hasn't. It's awesome. And I think kids buy into stuff like that when they see, you know, the adults of the world investing into them, and they see that, And you're right. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, then we have some of those kids in studio, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Catch and Cole, those guys are all freshmen. I think that was their midget year. Or maybe it was their Pee Wee Alley. I think it was their midget year when they went. The one summer, was it 2 summers ago, the midgets and the peewees won the state title from Elk City, both groups. So, and I think Cole and Catch and those guys that are freshmen were the midget group, and then John Easton's son and some of the Jared's son, those guys were peewees. So, and then you go down from that group, and then a couple years below them, you got Curry and JP's son Easton and all those guys that just played in the state championship game as second-year peewees last year. So, you can kind of see it stacking up with the senior class that's there now, the success all of those guys have had in every sport so far throughout the year, starting with football season and now into baseball, basketball, and all. It kind of starts to run together, and that's how you end up with long streaks of success, because those little guys get to see the big guys do it, and then they want to do it too.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk nationally in the college football world of what's the mecca of college football. Right now, it looks like the mecca of Western Oklahoma baseball could be Elk City because if you got the facilities, like I said. And you mentioned other towns, you see a lot of the little league teams from other towns are competing in this Elk City League that just, iron sharpens iron. So I think for years down the road, we're going to see a lot of good baseball. Obviously, right here in Elk City, we've always seen it in Hammond and Leedy, and we're seeing it now in Canute. Sayre is coming up in baseball. I mean, it's fun. It's really fun to see kids, young men, young boys still gravitate to that sport we grew up loving. So I'm ecstatic. I love it.
Yeah, and you mentioned, Elk City's one city, but also think about what Clinton's done in Acme Brick, the Weatherford facility out there by the golf course.
I don't want to short them. Really nice.
That brings in, Elk can get, the Leedy's and the Hammonds and Sayre teams playing in the summer, but then you think, okay, Arapahoe's going to Clinton, and, Kiva Sibley may come up to Weatherford and Thomas and all that. It really kind of strengthens the entirety of Western Oklahoma, which has always been really, really strong from the baseball standpoint, small schools all the way up through the I-40 teams right there with Clinton, Weatherford, Mill City.
Yeah, it's always a joy. It's awesome. Now, we're going to catch up. We're going to get with you about what you're doing today. We'll do that coming up. But there was some golf played yesterday right here in Elk City. We got to touch on that. So what happened yesterday? I know you got all the details on that one.
Speaking of tradition, there's none bigger in the school system of Elk City than golf. Because boys, everyone knows, but girls have been really, really good too. The Elk City girls, under the direction of Rachel Poole, were able to clip the Clinton Lady Reds by a single shot yesterday.
Wow.
To win the regional tournament. Yeah, 369 to 370 were the totals. The individual champion medalist was Callie Delorio from down in Cash. She shot 82. Brett Barnett of Elk City was second with 84. Addison Litke from Clinton was third individually with 86. And then Lillian Rhodes, senior for Elk City, also is the goalkeeper on the soccer team, who sprained her ankle horribly in the last regular season soccer game, a game that Elk City won in a shootout against Weatherford to kind of solidify their spot in the playoffs. She shot 88 and was fourth overall. A big reason why the Elkettes were able to win. Campbell Rainey had 94. Cameron Edney, Gabe's daughter, a 103. And then also Riley Wyatt finished the scoring with a 105 for Elk City. On the other side, beside Litke, Kat Meacham at 93 for Clinton. Grace Meacham, 94. I can't remember who shot 97. I can't remember her name. And then Cambry Davis of Clinton at 98. So a one-shot win in regionals for the Elkettes. And that just that's great to win. But the main job yesterday was being in the top three to be able to qualify for next week's state tournament, where I'm going today in Cushing next Wednesday and Thursday. So both Elk City and Clinton qualify out of the Elk City regional for the girls' state tournament and girls' golf. Also, I'm pretty sure Weatherford did as well. They were in Kingfisher yesterday for regionals, and I'm pretty sure they did. I don't have the full scoring. That's my fault. I should have texted Gary and King. anyhow. I'm pretty sure Weatherford has made it to the state tournament as well. So, you know, we can talk about baseball and ensure that it was there in the 90s. The one sport that's continued throughout is golf, and that's a huge testament to what is out there. Give Alex a ton of credit for continuing junior golf in the 12 years he's been there, and the membership at Elk City Golf and Country Club for really appreciating and enjoying watching the youngsters come up through there and have success at the high school level. And then the list is, I mean, it's impossible to remember everybody, myself included, that have been able to play college golf because of the experiences there. And, you know, that all kind of ties hand in hand with that tradition. And you know, a lot of places don't have the support from membership that we do. And that's awesome that happens. And I know a ton of places don't have the guy that promotes junior golf like we do with Alex Alvarez.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's awesome. Like I didn't realize how close it was. I knew Elk had took the title, but I didn't realize how close. Clinton was right behind him, and then of course Weatherford not in the same region. But we think that they got in too. So that's great. I mean, all three big schools on I-40 moving on, and we'll have some coverage on that next week. Now, help me out. What is the youth like? Are they young? The Elk City team, I know those names you mentioned for Clinton, they all seem young to me because I know their mamas and daddies, but is Elk City young? I mean, are we going to see this kind of stick around for a little bit?
Let's see. So Cam's a freshman. Riley, Campbell, and Brett, I think, are juniors, and then Lillian's a senior. So, yeah, a bulk of that team will be back. I know another freshman, Mark, has played throughout the season. So she's gained tons of experience. Kaylin Burton, one of the names you heard during the basketball season, she broke her wrist right at the end of basketball. So that kind of took her away from golf. But she's just a junior and is out there, you know. And so, yeah, I think there's some youth. Definitely next year, a team that'll be, you know, battling to be in the state tournament again. On the Clinton side, you know how there's certain people that just kind of play and you're like, man, they've been there forever. Kat Beecham has to be a senior, I would think. It seems like she's been playing girls golf forever. So if she's not, she's definitely a junior, I think. But I didn't see, you know, at the state tournament, they've got all those marked with seniors because of Allstate. You know, that's how Allstate happens.
Yeah.
At the state tournament, they have all the seniors marked. I didn't notice that until they're on the scoreboard. Want to be safe. I'm not going to look that up on my phone to see if it really was there. But I know the Oak City team will lose Lillian, but they've got some other players that will be back next year that hopefully can fill their shoes.
Very good. Well, excited about that. Excited about next week and seeing how they do. And, man, we got a lot of spring sports to cover. Let's take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll kind of preview what you're doing today on the road, as you can obviously here, if you're a listener. Aaron is traveling. I am in studio. Where is Aaron going? And I guess Aaron's going to go there next week too. Boy, you should just rent a house in Cushing because we've been there too many times this year.
I don't have to go to Cushing.
Okay.
Thank you, Jay Mack and the baseball team. I don't have to go to Cushing. That'd be a Sean and Gabe joint.
I got you. All right. Jared Athan, studio. Skinny on the road. He's on his way to Cushing, Oklahoma. Kind of like what we said, going to break. Second time for him this year. As Elk City famously went there in the playoffs football and got a huge upset win. And now Aaron's going there to see if the Elk City Elkette slow pitch softball team can get some wins and get into the state tournament. Tell us about it, Aaron. You're on your way there. Why on a Wednesday, for one? And what do you think about their chances?
Yeah, the Wednesday thing happened, and because of weather, trying to get ahead of the weather. I know they're having some baseball by district here, too. For the same reason today, to get ahead of the weather, moving it to 9. Of course, on the softball field, it doesn't take just a ton of rain to where it's a sloppy mess in the infield and it's hard to get anything played. So, we're going to happen today, all today. The Elkettes actually come in as the lowest ranked team in this regional at number 13 in the state. So, you know, it's going to be tough, it looks like, to me, as far as the competition. Cushing is the one seed. Oak City's the four, so they'll play first at noon. The other two teams, Cushing's number four in the state. The other two teams are Plainview and Broken Bow. Broken Bow's number five in Class 5A in softball, slow pitch softball, and then Plainview, I think, is number 12 right ahead of the Elkhead. So a strong, looks like a strong field. And we'll see. Oak City's done a nice job in softball. I think another one of the most exciting things looking to next year is that fall fast pitch season. With the season that the Elkhead had, almost, you know, a state tournament run, what they've got back, and then also what's coming out of the eighth grade. The sky could be the limit next year on the fast pitch field. And so this is just kind of another chance as they move along here in this season to build the camaraderie, build the trust, and to get things ready to go for next fall. When you look at the Elkhead, the offensive numbers are definitely inflated, but Emily Lorenz is somebody we're going to watch for today as she leads Oak City in most every hitting category throughout the season. 10 home runs, I think 38 RBI, hitting like 625. So she's going to be somebody that I'll have my eye on for sure when she comes up to the plate. But, you know, it's a totally different game than what you see in the fall. It's one that you and I maybe used to get to play. For me, you probably still could a little bit, but there's so much skill to it to be able to put the ball where you want it to off the bat and be able to generate runs without just knocking it over the fence all the time. So we'll see what happens. I'm trying to make the state tournament for the first time in 2004 in slow pitch softball, and the interesting thing is it's a 4-team regional, but there's only 4 regionals across the state. So that means 2 teams will advance to the state tournament this afternoon.
I'm efforting the schedule. I know we said noon for our region.
Yeah,
of course, it's. Go ahead.
I've got it. It's Elk City Fishing at noon. 1:15 is Broken Bow in Plainview. So then the winners will play at 2:30. The winner of that game is done. They're in the state tournament. So let's see, that's 2:30. So at 3:45. The losers of the first two games will play. Whoever loses is out. The winner will play the loser of the winner's bracket game. And whoever wins that one goes to the state tournament. That game will start at 5 o'clock.
So it's easy as this. Win 2 and you're in, Oak City. That's as easy as it gets.
Yeah, then we can all be back home about, I don't know, 7 o'clock.
So a great opportunity, Elk City, playing the host school Cushing at high noon, and that will be on BigElkTV.com. I think we failed to mention that 28 minutes in the show. That will be on Big. That's why Aaron's going. BigElkTV.com. You can watch it right there and stay up to date on it, and then find out when they play after that, either at 2:30, hopefully 2:30, if not 3:45. And we'll see what happens. There's great opportunity again, and I hate to sound like a broken record, but you mentioned, you know, the up-and-comings for the Elk City Elkette softball program. And again, I mean, just go out and look at the facilities that they've put the time in. It's not just on the baseball side. It's happening on the softball side, too, and the kids are buying in. Very cool stuff. Very exciting. So what else is on your mind, Aaron? We got a lot, 30 minutes in. We got all the high school stuff covered, I think. You mentioned soccer.
Yeah,
I was, you know, soccer is done regular season,
no.
Is it not?
Yeah.
But we don't have a bracket yet. So
that is baffling to me. What are we waiting on, OSSAA?
I don't know. I'm going to reach out to some soccer guys that I know who usually have the inside information on this, and
find out
what's going on.
At least according to the calendar, next Monday, the 2nd, will be the first round games in 3A and 4A, which is Elk City. Both boys and girls ended up qualifying for the playoffs. As the Elks were in a do-or-die situation the last game of the season with Weatherford in town. They beat them 3-0. So they end up third in the district. The Elkettes were third in the district, which means they'll be on the road for the first game. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be next Monday. I just don't have any idea where or who or when or that. But it's kind of baffling that soccer bracket has not been released. It's probably today. Seems like Wednesdays are a day. Mondays and Wednesdays are kind of days for the stuff to be released bracket-wise. So maybe it's this afternoon sometime and we'll know what that is for next week. But, yeah, and I know the regional track and the tennis team, the Elk City tennis teams have been fantastic all year. Obviously, Singer Twins leading the boys' side of that thing. One of them was winning state championship. And I got third year card from last year and the number two single. So that's the spring sports are pretty exciting this time of year with the Brown and White and, quite frankly, with everybody else.
And you say everybody else. We got Elk City baseball and region next week. Regional this week for small school. We kind of touched on it. That's really everybody starts it tomorrow, and we'll do our best to keep up with all of those scores, as there's a lot of teams in this area that are very capable of punching their ticket to state, and we could find that out as soon as Friday and as late as Saturday. So we'll stay up. You're great at it, man. You're great at staying on top of it. We appreciate all the coaches and ADs who send us stuff, because that's half the battle right there. It's just, they send us stuff, but it's going to be hard and heavy starting tomorrow.
Yeah, and let's see. Next Wednesday, 9:30, programming note. A week from today, I have actually talked Jay Mackin to stop by the studio.
Breaking news.
Yes, I've talked him into it. So
wow.
He'll be there at 9:30 next Wednesday. So got a preview. It's by that time, obviously, we'll know who's coming out to Ackley for the regional tournament. We'll know, what to expect, what the schedule will be, and that kind of thing. So, yeah, next Wednesday at 9:30, I'll talk to him in to come. So, he'll be there with us. And, I'm sure we'll effort to try to get some other guys on as well. Coach Gillette and Danny Canute have a great opportunity to be back in the state tournament, leading post in the regional. Some other teams on the road, but, you mentioned Rappa Butler yesterday on the baseball side, how good they've been. And a good chance for them. Sentinel's been pretty good. Granted, there's a lot of teams from around Western Oklahoma that will probably be a little bit disappointed come Saturday if they're not in either the Class A or the Class B baseball tournament.
Yeah, we'll reach out to a lot of coaches, but I'm still blown away that J-Mac's going to be on. Now, he knows he has to give us more than one-word answers, right? Not yes or no. He has to elaborate, right? He knows this, right?
He was wanting to. This is, I don't know if you would call this diva-ish behavior, but he was requesting a list of questions so that he could okay them.
He wants a writer. We have to have all different colored M&Ms separated in bowls in here for him, and special water. What a diva. I said it. Well, that's awesome that we get to have him in here. Really anxious to pick his brain about his team, because they have been fantastic. And, man, that region's going to be so much fun. I cannot wait. Hope the weather cooperates. Of all the times we don't want it to rain or anything, hope those are the days. Man, it's just hit me right now about how busy next week's going to be. You mentioned the golf. You mentioned, of course, baseball. Who knows what happened after today? What happens with the Oak City softball? What am I missing? Soccer?
I think Monday, so this in my mind, Monday will be boys and girls soccer and boys golf regional. I don't know if there will be anything Tuesday. Thursday has the chance to be the final round of girls golf. Baseball regional starting. Softball state tournament starting, and I think that's also the second round of the soccer play.
And that's just the large school. And, I mean,
yeah.
Then next,
yeah,
you know, you mentioned all those small.
Like Elk City.
Yeah, you mentioned all the small schools that have a chance to go to state in baseball.
Maybe start Thursday.
That they would start Thursday. Now, what about small school slow pitch softball? We have some teams, I believe, still alive for that.
I know Hammond's in a regional, and that would be the same way. I'm sure it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday of next week for the state tournament.
Let me effort that. I believe they're in 3A in slow pitch. Hang on. No, they don't.
They're at the bottom.
They're 2A then. Or are they A?
Whatever those. Yeah, I think they're A.
Okay. Well, we don't want to shortchange anybody, so I want to make sure we get that to air. Let's see here. Looking Hammond. Yes, they are at Roth.
Roth, yeah.
Yeah, Roth tomorrow. unless that's changed, haven't heard, but they're there with some other local teams that we're familiar with, Fort Cobb, Broxton, Arnett, and, of course, Roth.
Hammond, that's right.
Hammond opens with Roth at 1 p.m. tomorrow, Fort Cobb, Broxton, and Arnett. They play after that. And then just like the what you're seeing today, the two teams will advance. So there's still opportunity there. And that's saying something. Listen, we haven't really talked about it, but the way Hammond's season started, here they are 2 wins away from state. I mean, they were on the brink of not even having a season. And for reasons we won't bring to air, but here they are, two wins away from state. That's pretty impressive. And, you know, Arnett and Fort Cobb, just a shame that a local team, you know, only two can advance. And but Arnett, they had a stellar basketball season that's carrying over, it looks like. Fort Cobb's always there. So am I missing anybody locally? Lukiva Sickles, they're over at Moss.
Yeah, they're hosting a baseball regional too. And, of course, I'm holding my phone because I'm kind of, just in case I get a text. As soon as we started talking about this, my phone started buzzing, and I knew exactly what it was going to be. And sure enough, I was right. We have our Southeast Oklahoma man, Mike Wilson. Don't poke eagles, he says. I knew exactly what this was going to be when my phone buzzed, and then I saw his name.
Okay,
repeat
that again. What do you say?
I said I knew that my man Mike Wilson was wanting Red Oak to get a mention.
Ah.
When we were talking about all this, and sure enough, it was.
Yes.
It was him.
They're always in the mix.
Anyway.
Yes. Some inside info given to me. This is pretty reliable, this source. Now, not sure. He's saying, I've asked, when's the bracket going to be released? And not sure. Some districts finished up last night. So.
Yeah. I wondered if that was what was happening. It's just waiting on all of the districts to finish. You know, and don't know. I can't imagine weather playing too much of a part of that. But it could have. You know, it lasts, what, over the weekend, Friday or Saturday, up in the city area, obviously, and across everywhere but Western Oklahoma.
Yep.
There were storms and rain, and so maybe that delayed it a little bit, and this is just now where they can get it played, or maybe some of them actually had it scheduled that way, you know, to finish it.
Being told, looks like Elk City Girls will be playing. This is unofficial, so don't quote me, but this is just sources feeding me info. Looks like Elk City Girls will be playing at Bethany on Monday.
Yeah, that's what I've seen.
Clinton Lady Reds at home against Chickasha. And defending champs Clinton Boys, they're at home against Newcastle on Monday, both on Monday. Again, not official, but the way the districts in the seeding, how that works out. So,
so that would mean whatever district that is that has Chickasha and Bethany, if that's right, then whoever finished second in the boys would probably be where Elk City's at, right, on the boys' side. Because Elk City's third in their district, and so we could probably figure that out.
Efforting
that goes.
District 4A, you said the district with Chickasha and who?
Bethany? Chickasha and Bethany. Who finished on the boys' second place.
Second place in that district was Chickasha.
So that probably is where Elk City heads.
Going to Chickasha. 11-3 Chickasha.
Totally,
yeah.
That's totally guessing.
So 4A1, 4A2, that's how that seeds up. This is similar to. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I thought you said Chickasha was going to Clinton.
Might have been the girls.
Oh, yeah, might have been.
Lady Reds at home against Chickasha.
Okay.
Clinton Boys at home against Newcastle.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so
because Newcastle finished third, Clinton finished second.
Yeah.
Elk City finished third. Right. Chickasha finished second, so Elk City 2, Chickasha. Yep. I see how that's working. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's right.
That's how it looks. So, again, I bet you we get that soccer bracket today.
Yeah, I would imagine.
They're waiting on
pretty well.
Yeah.
Just a couple of games to finish.
Right.
You know, everything, you know, there may be other spots around the state where that was already, they've already got it put into the bracket, just waiting to finalize a couple of different spots, and you'd be done with it.
Yeah,
I bet you're right. I bet by 4 o'clock today we have a soccer bracket.
Yeah, I'm just looking to see. Wow. Okay. So, for instance, the 4A2 champ was Harding Charter. They already have it on their schedule that they are playing the fourth team at a 4A1, which is Bethany, on Monday. They already have it on there.
Well, so, I can tell you this. The Oak City girls' soccer schedule has had Bethany on Monday for about a week now, ever since the game against Westford. The boys didn't, so maybe there was a Chickasha game. The Chickasha girls and boys had to finish up something in order for that to be official.
Something had to be finished up, but you're right. And I'm seeing it right here. Chickasha boys have Elk City on their schedule already for Monday at 6 o'clock.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Little detective work goes a long way. Okay. All right.
Not just anybody can do that live on the air, Jared.
Well, credit my source. I don't know if I can name him, but if you know me, you know who he is. He's a big soccer guy over in Clinton. He usually knows all the info on this stuff. And he's an avid listener. He always texts me. Skinny on the road, Jared in studio, getting you all the way to the end of the hour. A lot of high school athletics. Really, today is just the beginning of it. Going in all the way into next week, we're going to have a lot of it covered, Elk City-wise, and maybe some more other outside of that. Who knows? Just keep tuned on Skinny on Sports and all of our properties, and we will have it covered for you and let you know where we're going to be throughout this wild end of the school year, which is crazy to say, but we are right around the corner, a couple weeks, 3 weeks away, and then all of a sudden, nothing. Well, we say that, but you got a son. I got a couple daughters that are swinging bats well into all the way to July, so it doesn't really stop for us, but just amazing how fast the school year flies by, and hopefully a lot of hardware is brought back to Western Oklahoma. Hey, failed to mention, don't forget, download our app. But, you know, usually a way, if you're out on the road like Aaron is, to stay in touch with us. We have the Skinny on Sports podcast that is always archived. I know it was a little late yesterday because I was really busy, but I got it on this morning. We'll have an archive of this show on there as well. And what am I missing? KADSAM.com. Skinny on Sports Facebook page. Stay connected with us. And again, all those sports stuff I told you we're talking about, we'll have it lined out, probably throw out some schedules on our socials and stuff like that and get you all ready to go. Skinny will be on BigOakTV.com today. I'm guessing, Skinny, about what, 11:45, 11:40 pregame?
11:50.
Something
around. Depending on how quick I can get a roster for pushing and then also fill out a scorebook, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, it'll be something somewhere in that 10 till noon-ish, something in that neighborhood to get you ready for Oak City pushing at noon. There's definitely going to be a break, no matter if the Oak gets win or lose, because the other first round game will happen immediately following that one. 1:15 is the schedule, so there's going to be some sort of break. It's either going to be a 1-game break if the Oak gets win, a 2-game break if they don't. But after that, if they happen to fall to Cushing, then from then on, it's going to be back-to-back because hopefully they'll play 2 games in a row and end up in the state tournament.
Very good. And we'll recap that before we get on out of here. Real quick, touching on the NBA playoffs last night, 3 games were played. One team punching their ticket to the next round. That's the Heat defeating the Hawks 97-94. So another quick out for Trae Young. We'll get back to that in a little bit. I want to start with, though, the Grizzlies defeating the Timberwolves, coming back to do it, winning 111-109, and Ja Morant with 30 points, 13 rebounds, 9 assists. The guy is an animal. It's why I think the Grizzlies are one of my dark horses in the West. They're debating, like, this morning on all the sports talk shows, if that was one of the best dunks in playoff history. Why aren't they debating, was that one of the best dunks ever? That was fantastic, and it just shows why the Grizzlies drafted him, why they're building around this guy. The sky is the limit, and I think the Grizzlies are going to be good for a really long time because of this one guy. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if you take away the fact that it was a charge, it was a great play. I'm teasing. No, just an incredible play. And it's hard for me. Is it the Grizzlies or the Wolves? Meaning, sure, that play was awesome. You get the game winner as well. You almost a triple-double with 30 points. But if it's a normal franchise, can they do what they've done? Because think about this. This series should be over.
Yeah.
The Wolves should have won the series last night. They were up 26 in what, game one, and blew it. And then last night, they blew a double-digit fourth-quarter lead again. So, you know, everything that Ja's done, he's one of the up-and-coming guys that's going to be sort of the face of the league. There's no doubt about that. But when you really look at what's happened, man, it's a, you know, the Wolves, they only get to the playoffs once every 18 years. And this is their, you know, their one for 18. And, man, you've got to be sick to your stomach if you're a T-Wolves fan, the eight of you out there, because this series should be over, but it's not. And so you got to credit the Grizzlies for being able to find a way in those games. And now, you know, after last night and just the exciting way that happened with that dunk, with the game winner, it really now feels like it's going to be awful hard for Minnesota to be able to bounce back in a game six, but force a game seven back in Memphis.
Well, if not losing the lead like they did, like you mentioned, especially last night, the way they did, that dunk in a weird way could have sealed their fate. Just that one, because it was fantastic, and
yeah,
that's just something that you're going to see on highlight reel after highlight reel after highlight reel when they talk about Memphis from now and until as long as Morant's on that team. It's weird, you know. So you're right. Now with their backs against the wall, I don't see the Timberwolves coming out of there. Also with their backs against the wall are the Pelicans, a team I kind of had some slim hope for to upset the Suns once Booker went out. They too had a chance. You know, they were up they had a chance to take a lead in game, what was that, three at home?
Yeah.
And I thought coming out of last weekend they could have a 3-1 lead and put the Suns in the hot seat, pardon the pun, but Suns give them credit without Booker getting the win last night, 112-97, lead the series 3-2 and on the brink of punching their ticket to the next round and buying some time for Booker to get back on the court.
Yeah, that'll be the interesting part of it, because if you're Phoenix, not only do you want to steal this thing in game six, you also want to see Utah force a game seven against Dallas, because that would just give Booker an extra couple of days. Maybe that's all he needs to be able to get back out there. So that's something both Phoenix obviously doesn't want to go to a game seven. Anything can happen at that point, even though it's on their home floor. But also given a chance to rest, hopefully Dallas gets pushed to seven, and that just gives Booker a little bit more time to get back and get right. Because, you know, it's one thing to beat the Pelicans without Devin Booker. You know, the Mavs, if you're looking at a second-round series, the Mavs or Utah is as good a matchup as you can hope for. If you're Phoenix and not going to have Booker for a little bit or all of that series, you definitely wouldn't want to be on the other side against either Memphis, Minnesota, or Golden State. I mean, that would probably steal your fate.
Ouch.
You know, the Mavs, maybe you could get away with it against the Mavs or Utah. But eventually, that's going to have to happen. Booker's going to have to be there in order for Phoenix to beat what probably is going to be Golden State, but it could certainly be Memphis or Minnesota, either one of those teams there in the Western Conference Finals. Here's the question I got to ask. So is tonight game six with Philly and Toronto? Or is it tomorrow? I think it's tonight.
Tonight's games are Bulls, Bucks, Nuggets, Warriors.
Okay, so it's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
Man, okay. What happens? Okay, so for those of you that listening that don't realize this, and I think a lot of people think, and he is a good coach. Doc Rivers is a very, very good coach in the NBA. He has been. He started with the Celtics, then the Clips, now here he is in Philly. But do you realize that Doc Rivers has blown 3-1 lead three different times in his coaching career?
I don't think I've ever realized that.
He has blown three different 3-1 leads to lose series. And, oh, by the way, think about the pressure on Philly tomorrow night. Because the last thing the Sixers want to do is play a game seven at home after they've blown a 3-0 lead. And Doc Rivers, I mean, where does that put him? If something were to go wrong for Philly and they lose this series, and now your coach has been, I think, the only guy to blow 3-1 leads, and I know he'd be the first one to blow a 3-0 lead, where does that put Doc Rivers? For all the good that he's done, how does he overcome that? as far as a legacy conversation.
Well, that's,
I don't think he can.
You just described the difference between good and great. He's good but not great if that happens. He's a good coach, gets a lot of wins, gets teams to playoffs.
Has a title, by the way.
Has a title.
With Boston.
But is he a great coach? Is he a Phil Jackson? I mean, that's the mountain, right? But
well, obviously not.
You know what I mean. But there's there's good coaches, and then there are great coaches. Shoot, there are bad coaches. He's not a bad coach. He's a good coach. He's not a great coach.
He's a very good coach.
He's not a great coach because of the what you've mentioned.
Maybe he's just very good and not great.
Yeah. There's a different
because
level.
You got to give him credit for what he's been able to do. But also, man, it's hard to overcome blowing leads like that and being kind of the only guy to ever do that. On the flip side, let me ask you this. I've been thinking about this question ever since game two of that Memphis-Minnesota series. If Taylor Jenkins, who is the Memphis coach, if Taylor Jenkins would have been the coach of the 2012 Thunder, would OKC have a championship banner hanging in the rafters? And here's why I asked that question. He saw, after game one, that Steven Adams had no business playing in the series. Anybody that follows Steven Adams' career with the Thunder knows that Carl Anthony Towns obliterates him every time they play. And then Minnesota used Adams' liabilities against him in game one to where he hasn't played since. And the reason I bring that up is Oklahoma City, if you look back at that Miami series, had the same problem, but were unwilling to change. Because the plus-minus when Kendrick Perkins was on the floor was completely opposite than when he was off. Scott Brooks didn't have the cojones to sit him. You got to give Taylor Jenkins tons of credit because, you know, Steven Adams is one of those guys that's respected around the league. People like him. He doesn't, you know, cause a bunch of stir and all that. But he also understood that Steven couldn't play in this series if Memphis was going to move on. And I think that hasn't been talked about enough. I know we haven't even talked about it, but you got to give Taylor Jenkins all kinds of credit for being willing to be flexible and not just be hard-headed and stubborn with what you did throughout the regular season.
I think, yeah, he gets a lot of credit for making that decision and the person, you know, seeing the personnel match up and giving his team the best opportunity to win. But I think we could also give credit to Adams for allowing him.
I agree.
To be set, you know, he's he is. That's why people love him and gravitate to him because he's a great team guy. He doesn't. You're right. He doesn't shake a lot of trees. He, you know, he says funny things during press conferences, and he's a real likable guy. And I can never, ever remember Steven Adams being upset with a coach or a player or a teammate. Maybe an opposing player, but he's a really good team guy. I don't know, and this isn't a knock on Kendrick Perkins, but you know, the dynamic between coach and player right there was, you know, maybe Perkins like, hey, listen, you traded for me. You wanted me on your team. Why would you sit me in this situation? You know, I don't know a lot about Kendrick Perkins, even though he's been in the media a lot more lately. You kind of see a little bit more of him. But I think you got to give a lot of credit to Steven Adams for just for understanding his role on a really good team.
Well, and the reason I bring it up is because, you know, Steven Adams is akin to Kendrick Perkins in that they're kind of the old guy on a young team.
Yeah.
The Baby Thunder team. Kendrick Perkins was the guy that had kind of been in the lures and nobody else really had. And that's the same situation here with Adams and, you know, as phenomenal as Ja is and all that. Those guys have never been there. Steven has. And for him, for one, Jenkins to be willing to pull that trigger. And then, like you said, for two, Adams accepting it and not causing a fuss, I think that shows you Memphis isn't going anywhere because of the culture that they have built around Ja with Jenkins as the coach and with the front office and everything to where it is more team-oriented than just, you know, stars playing together. We had the conversation a couple days ago about the super teams. Is that over? Is it not? You know, with Boston sweeping Brooklyn, it was an obvious collection of talent versus well put together team. in that series. And I think, sure, it may not rear its head throughout the season, but if you really pinpoint down the Boston and Brooklyn series, you know, the last 3 minutes of every game were controlled, completely dominated by Boston because they had the cohesion of a team that Brooklyn didn't have with a collection of stars. And I think he doesn't seem like one of those guys that's ruffling a lot of feathers either. And so, you know, Memphis is a really good template if you're looking for what Oklahoma City's trying to do. I think Memphis is a really good example to follow for the Thunder, for fans out there, of what you're hoping to see here over the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I think that's why I gravitate to him. Maybe a little bit of out of envy, but because that's how I want the Thunder to be built like. You know, we've seen the breakdown, the tanking, I guess, with Memphis. We knew where they were with the awesome battles in the playoffs with Oklahoma City. Then they went away. They drafted well. They got a great coach, like you mentioned. Bring in some other key pieces. That's just kind of what you hope happens in OKC moving forward. Real quick tonight, a couple of game fives, Bulls and Bucks, Nuggets and Warriors. Do the Bucks and Warriors punch their ticket, or is this go to game six? Do either of them go to game six?
The most shocking loss in the entire playoffs would be if the Bucks lost tonight. Chicago don't have anybody. All of a sudden, COVID's back. You know, Zach LaVine's out. Alex Caruso's out. It would be monumental upset if Chicago went into Milwaukee and won that game tonight. So, and then on the other side, you know, Golden State's been able to play really, really well on their own floor. They get those other guys. You know, Poole had one good game in Denver, one not so good. But he's been phenomenal at home in these playoffs, along with Steph and Clay. And yeah, I think both of the teams you expect to win are going to win tonight. And then we start to get geared up for the second round, which should just be absolutely phenomenal basketball in what I three of the four series for sure. I'm not sure about the Phoenix one. We'll see. You know, it has the chance of being good, but the chance of maybe not living up to what the rest of these are. But man, those Eastern Conference series with Miami and Milwaukee, Boston, Milwaukee, Miami, and whoever wins the Philly thing, and then on the other side, Memphis and Golden State looks like one hell of a lot of fun.
Sure does. Well, you're going to have a lot of fun over in Cushing, getting ready for some softball.
Hopefully.
Again, you're going to have about 11:45, 11:50 pregame. Cushing versus Elk City. Our Elk City Elkettes looking to continue their season. Couple wins today, and they are in the state tournament. Tune in high noon to find out if they can do it. BigElkTV.com. That's where it starts. That's where it's only going to be at. That's where you can see it and hear it on BigElkTV.com. Presented by Bank of Western Oklahoma and other great sponsors. Aaron, be safe. We'll be listening at noon. All right, bud. All right. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care. And that's going to do it for me, too. Oh, I better not turn my mic down. I'll just turn down the wrong one. I'm out of here. We'll be back again tomorrow. Aaron will be back in studio. We'll get a rundown of what happened today over in Cushing. Look ahead to the NFL draft and other high school sports. Like we said, small school regionals, baseball regionals, and softball. Slow pitch softball starting tomorrow. And we'll talk about that coming up. That's going to do it for me. Coming up next, we have the Hump Man. We've got a lot of great sports talk right here on these airwaves. Thanks for tuning on in. It's been the Skinny on Sports on 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, KADST Sports Animal. Oh, I'm glad Aaron's back in the driver's seat tomorrow because I kind of drive all over the road. Have a good one. Take care.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!